You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We all encounter pivotal decisions in our life that shape the trajectory of our future. And making a choice isn't always easy because there isn't always a clear answer. In fact, there may be this internal struggle between what you think you should do and what you truly want. And that purgatory of uncertainty can be paralyzing. The goal, of course, is to avoid regret. But what if regret could instead be used to make decisions that align with what truly matters to us? Our next guest reframes regret from a backward-looking burden into a forward-looking compass for peace of mind. Parul Somani has developed a framework out of her own experience navigating cancer shortly after childbirth, faced with life-altering decisions when there was no clear right answer. That is the foundation of her debut book, The Path of Least Regret, which publishes tomorrow. Parul joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks, Vicky.
So I want to begin with a part of your life that may feel unrelated to this conversation and to this book, but it actually helped fuel a new chapter in your life. I mean, you're a graduate of MIT. You had a successful career in the corporate world. What was that time in your life like? Because that was before a cancer diagnosis would change the course of your future.
Absolutely. So my background was an engineering major at MIT, Harvard Business School, and I was definitely wired to think logically, rationally, break down problems, look at the data, collect the evidence, and find the right answer in the numbers. And it was a very formative time in my life. It's where my career was really built. And yet I felt like when life truly got hard, when the inevitable ups and downs of crises in health or caregiving or parenting really kicked in, then the frameworks that I had learned through student learning, training were no longer serving me.
I mean, you were in your early 30s when you had just given birth, you were a mother, and then you receive a cancer diagnosis just shortly after. How did both of those moments begin to unravel the way that you approach life and decision making?
Yeah, I was 31 years old holding my newborn baby when I got a diagnosis of an aggressive breast cancer. And when you are faced with a diagnosis like that, it really gives you a new perspective on how you want to spend your time, what the legacy is you want to leave behind, what your values and priorities are. But it also really puts to test your own resilience and your own sense of what certainty exists in the world. I think through the years leading up to that point, I always had a very clear sense of this is what I'm working on, this is what's going to come next for me, and this is like what I'm going to make happen. And something like that diagnosis, along with a number of other ups and downs in my life since then, have just really brought home the point that that type of certainty and the prediction we want of our life is not very reliable. And what it requires of us is then the ability to gain comfort with uncertainty.
Yeah.
To gain comfort with recognizing the choices that we want to make that are the decisions that matter most to what is going to shape our life are not necessarily something we can control the outcome of, but how we approach the process of that decision-making, how we think with clarity of what values, you know, what matters most to us, what we want to prioritize, that is something that actually is within our control.
Yeah, I was confronted with that as well. You know, when I found out that I had breast cancer, I mean, it completely uprooted the way that I approached life. I mean, the decisions that I was faced with, they all came with risks and benefits. And despite all of the research I did a ton of research. You know, you have self-help books, you talk to friends or people who also have been through it. Even despite all of that, I still felt really scared about making the right choice. And you dive into this a great deal, that over-analysis can be paralyzing.
Absolutely. My upbringing, my training was very leaning towards be analytical. When it came to selecting my cancer treatment plan, that was the approach I was initially leaning towards, which is let me just collect all of the data that's available. Let me look at all of the studies. Let me look at the recurrence risk. And I found that the more oncologists I asked for opinions, the more different opinions I got, the more data I looked at, the more, you know, irrelevant that data became, because it wasn't going to be able to actually tell me, for me, my priorities, my specific diagnosis, my specific genetic profile, what is actually going to be right for me. And so when the doctors then asked me which treatment plan I wanted to pursue, that was a very overwhelming and paralyzing decision, because I felt like the answer was no longer in the data. It wasn't something that I could just look externally for. It was truly a decision, like many of the most important decisions in our life, that I needed to look internally at what choice is going to give me the most peace of mind, even if what I hope for doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Even if my cancer returns or there's a long-term side effect, what is the choice that I am going to know I at least made the best decision I could at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. I had that same realization, you know, through my own experience, that it really wasn't about making a right or wrong decision, but being able to be at peace, right, with the decisions that you make. And I totally changed how I thought about the choices other people make, because each choice is just so deeply personal. Some people, in the case of cancer, may forego certain treatments while others do it all, and both are okay, right? So it allowed me to remove judgment. You also dive into this with this belief in a way to kind of like work through these decisions, because we're looking for certainty, and that's like never guaranteed, as you illustrate very well in your book. But we can also achieve clarity, and that's what we should strive towards. How did you come to that realization?
I came to that realization when it became evident that I was trying to look for an answer that was tied to a specific outcome. It was when I reflected on my decision-making in the past and the definition of success that I carried, which was very dependent on what is the outcome. So a decision was only a good decision if it led to the outcome that I wanted. But when it comes to our health, when it comes to our career, when it comes to parenting, there's just so much that truly is out of our control. And to feel like our decisions and the success of them are based on an uncontrollable outcome just felt very helpless. It felt more of like this, like kind of a victimizing mindset if things didn't turn out the way that we wanted. And it also ruins us of the self-trust that we can carry as we make our choices if we, you know, are depending on things that are outside of our control. And so it was this realization that I was never going to be able to have peace of mind in my decisions if they were tied to uncontrollable outcomes. And the only way that I could actually be at peace with the choices that I make is if I could approach them with alignment. And that alignment came from having clarity of what is it that I'm trying to solve for in this choice that I'm making. What is the information that I can collect? What are the values that I'm bringing into the assessment? And regardless of what the outcome is, if I know that I was very intentional in the process of navigating the uncertainty, navigating the change, making the hard choices that came with it, then I would be at peace knowing that I did what I could do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the onset, that whole experience for me like knocked the confidence out of me, right? Because it totally changed how you approach life. Like you think A plus B equals C. Like if I do this, I do this, then I'll live longer, or I won't get cancer or something like that. And that's not how life works. And building that self-trust is hard work, but it's so important. When did you start thinking about turning all of this into a book?
So the first time I opened up a Google Doc with anything that had to do with book outline related to it was 5 years ago. So it's been many years in the making. The concept of the Path of Least Regret itself was born over 10 years ago now, in 2014, when I was first diagnosed and needing to choose a treatment plan. And I had actually blogged that journey real time in a blog called New Job, New Baby, New Cancer. And it was in a July 2014 blog post that I shared the thought process I went through when making my treatment plan decision. And I had titled that blog post, The Path of Least Regret. And so as a decision-making lens, it is something I have carried with me for over 10 years. I've applied it in all aspects of life and leadership. And since 2019, which is when I full-time became a keynote speaker, workshop facilitator, working with companies and organizations and leaders on how to empower them to really navigate uncertainty and change with more intention, I've been sharing the path of least regret as a lens, as a framework. And 5 years ago is when I started putting more and more thoughts to paper, but it has gone through many iterations over the years and has only become stronger because over these years, it's not just building upon my own personal experiences and deconstructing the framework from that, but now it's supplemented with the science, the psychology and neuroscience that supports the framework. It is defined into actionable strategies and tools for others to apply it to their own life. And now there's case studies of other people who I've coached and how they've applied the path of least regret in different aspects of their life and how it worked for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, in this book, you share, of course, a personal journey and what you went through. But the book, it really isn't a memoir. It's not meant to be passively read. It's a framework of strategies, self-reflective prompts in each chapter. What's missing, or what was missing, in self-help books and other resources available that you wanted to fill that gap?
It's exactly this merger of the two, that it's not a memoir, but it's also not just an academic research book about the self-help genre. It is self-help informed by lived experience. And so what I felt was missing was, one, a book on how to make life decisions, right? A lot of decision-making books exist, and they're often more in the context of business or leadership, but not how do you recognize the emotional layer that exists when making decisions that impact your health, your identity, your sense of self as a parent or as a caregiver. And so the white space existed there simply in its positioning as a decision-making tool. But then even in the construction of the book, in the way that it combines personal stories that have the benefit of memoir in the sense that they help the reader emotionally connect with the author and hear stories that bring the strategies to life, it also then carries this second voice in the book, which is more intellectual in nature, where it's more about the actionable strategies. It's about the supporting science. And then there's this coaching overlay where every chapter ends with self-reflective prompts, because I don't want readers to just passively, hear about my story or hear some strategies. And if that's what they're looking for, then they will find tools that they can remember and carry forward. But if they are truly stuck, if they're truly at a crossroads in their life right now and want to actively engage with the material, this book provides tools in a way that not all other resources do, with these prompts that help you apply the learnings real time as you're going through the book.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, I'm chatting with Parul Somani, the debut author of The Path of Least Regret, which provides a framework to transform regret into a compass to find peace of mind when faced with life-changing decisions and the path feels uncertain ahead. So your book publishes tomorrow. It is available to the public. But as you also laid out, you've been doing this work for years prior. Why do you think it resonates with people facing uncertainty? How has it helped people in the time that you've been doing this work?
The work resonates because our ability to navigate uncertainty, to navigate change, to navigate and make hard choices is something that's so critical to the fulfillment that we experience in our lives, what feels like success to us. But it's not something that we're ever actually taught how to do. We are influenced through our upbringing and what we observe, in our own parents or guardians. And, we may have some sense from our schooling about how to break down problems. But when it comes to actually navigating the hardest parts of our life, we're never actually taught how to do it. And we look to our peers, but they're kind of just figuring it out real time as well. And so the reason this work has resonated is because every one of us is faced with inevitable curveballs in our life. And if we haven't been yet, we will be. And to feel like we can have a book like The Path of Least Regret, a framework like what it offers, it's serving as a companion, almost as this guide, that friend that you can turn to time and time again when you're hit with those ups and downs, when you're hit with this feeling of, you know, change is needed, but you're not sure how to make it, or change has been thrown on you and you're not sure how to navigate it. And, you know, we all want people and friends in our life like that. And through this book, I hope it serves as a resource for that same need as well.
Yeah, if someone's listening to this and maybe they are faced with a really big decision in their life and they feel kind of paralyzed about what choice to make, you know, going off of, you know, the quote that clarity is possible even when certainty is not in your book. Can you just walk us through what that really means in practice, how someone listening today could apply it to a decision they're currently struggling with?
Yeah. So when I first thought of The Path of Least Regret, it was when I was at a very specific decision point. I was faced with option A or option B for a treatment plan, and I needed to pick a path forward. What I've learned over the years as I've further reflected on that experience as well as others is that our journey to being able to define and navigate our path of least regret actually begins much earlier than the decision point. So when it comes to clarity, it's not just about which option to pursue, but it begins earlier on clarity of what it is that you're actually experiencing. What are the emotions that define how you feel about the struggle that you're facing, the choice that you're facing, and you know, what is driving that? Because when we just think about a problem that we're experiencing, we're triggering our stress hormones. But when we can actually identify and name the emotions that we're having affiliated with it, it lights up a different part of our brain. It actually makes us more proactive. And that is an important step to then think about how can you honor the emotions that you truly are feeling and recognize that those are human and natural. But then not wanting to get trapped in those hard emotions either. And so the next step of clarity begins with really thinking through what has been holding you back. What are those mental roadblocks that might be paralyzing you? Is it fear? Is it ego? Is it an outdated sense of identity or expectations that others have held for you but no longer serve you? And in the book, I expand on what are possible mental roadblocks and what are strategies for overcoming them. And that is ongoing work. There's not just a one-time read of a book or a one-time question to yourself of, you know, what is holding me back? And great, now I'm over it. It is ongoing work. But it's through that introspective journey that you get clarity on what actually matters to you, what has prevented you from moving forward before, how can you now actively, you know, work against that? And where does that then lead you to in terms of self-trust and in terms of the courage that's needed for creating the change that you want?
Yeah. I mean, the decisions are never easy, but it's about making them with greater ease.
Absolutely. It's understanding what is within your control, what is it that's best going to serve you, and what is it that is no longer serving you that might need to be reframed and released.
Perul, thank you so much for joining us on the eve of your book, which is publishing tomorrow. Thank you for spending some time with us on Insight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Perul Somani is the debut author of The Path of Least Regret, which provides a framework to transform regret into a compass to find peace of mind when faced with life-changing decisions and the path ahead feels uncertain. Still ahead, the study of Shakespeare can often be intimidating. Thankfully, two Sacramento actors are looking to make the Bard more accessible and relatable to our modern lives. We'll talk to the hosts behind the award-winning podcast, Shakespeare Anyone? You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez.